You're listening to the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Radio Network, and this is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you that the King is coming. The Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is located at www.moresureword.com. That's all one word, all small letters, www.moresureword.com. That's www.moresureword.com. On that website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and prepare to endure to the end of this 42-month Antichrist war on the saints. Once again, this is Jim Searcy reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when we see these things come to pass, that we are to look up and know that our redemption draweth nigh. Only be very strong and of good courage. Stay in the Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise God. This wonderful, glorious gospel of God is so fantastic. And sadly, most people only get enough of a dose of it to become immune to it. They never really consider the three problems that every human being is born with. They never really consider it. And David probably gave the best expression of that first problem when he had already committed adultery, covered his sin with murder, and the prophet Nathan came in, told him a good story, and David was angry about this wealthy man that took the one little prized lamb of the poor man. Nathan said, "Thou art the man. Thou art the man." And David had the power and authority. He could have killed Nathan, but instead found grace. Out comes Psalm 51. And I think in Psalm 51, we find the best expression of the reality of that first problem that we're going to see. That first problem, the fact that we have some guilt. Yes, we do. David said it. He said, "Against thee, thee only have I sinned. Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight." He understood that the bottom line and the really sinful part of sin is the offense to God's holiness. He understood that. And there is a guilt associated with that. That's problem one. But what about the second problem? You know, the gospel has the answer to these problems. But you've got to hear the bad news before you're really open to receive the good news, to receive the gospel. What about the second problem? The truth of who we are. What are we going to do about ourselves? How are we going to ever escape from the tyranny of our own nature, our own personality and vanity and self-centeredness and religiosity and the tendency to fail regarding doing what we know is right? How will we deal with our rationalizing? We're rational beings. How will we deal with our rationalizing, our self-deception, our self-delusion, or our religious spirit bondage? Can a Hebrew spin on things fix the problem? Chances are it's going to make it worse. And sadly, that spin may even gather more of the leaven of the Pharisees, about which Yeshua gave us that special warning. The key verses are right there in Romans chapter 7, verses 14 through Romans 8, 4. And they give tremendous light and insight to find the answers to this second problem common to all of them. And Romans 7, 14 through 8, 4 really give us some great help in getting this leaven out, making this Passover what it ought to be. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal. We've got that figured out. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that I do not. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it's no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me. But how to perform it? How to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that, I would not. It's no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. What is law? It's the way we've been taught to do things. It's Torah, teaching, instruction. The question is, what law or Torah are we following? Are we following the perfect law of God? Our own self-centered rules? Or the perverted law of rabbis? Reverends, popes, and poobahs. What is this law in my members warring against the law of my mind? The law in our members is our nature, that every one of us has inherited as born sinners that we are. The law in our members is our vanity, envy, self-centeredness, religiosity. The law in our members is this tendency which we have to fail regarding doing what we know is right and then blame shifting or rationalizing with religious self-deception, self-delusion, or religious spirit bondage. Beware the leaven of the Pharisees. As we consider the cross of Passover, the cross of the Passover, where the Lamb of God was slain outside the gates of Jerusalem on that Wednesday, Nisan 14 and 30 AD, we may find and receive great light on this problem of what we are. The problem of what we were and what we've done is seen in the light of the truth at the cross. The light of the truth of what we are is to be seen in the same light of the cross of the Passover Lamb of God being slain on that Wednesday, Nisan 14 and 30 AD. We see the law of sin and death being conquered. That's what happened. That's why he said it is finished. It's there that we see this law of sin and death being conquered. We see this law of how we learn to respond without considering the cross of Messiah. We see Messiah, our Passover, who is sacrificed for us, redeeming us from the curse of the law of sin and death. And seeing that truth should give us strength to find victory over this law which wars against our ability to do what we know is right. That's where we find it. The power, because that's where the victory was accomplished. We should understand the essence of sin is selfishness. That's the essence of it. We see how the effects of sin have seared and dulled and suppressed our conscience. We see how the effects of sin have twisted us and deformed us. Our view of Christ, who was pierced for us, the pure, unleavened bread of life, the bread of heaven, the bread that came down from heaven. Totally unleavened. The only one who could ever say, Satan hath nothing in me. Messiah, our Passover. We see him being sacrificed for us. And that causes a new attitude. Now we want to please him and serve him more than we want to please ourselves. Our minds tell us that to obey him is the right thing to do. And we have renounced our self-will and think that we want his rule and not self-rule, now controlling our actions. Our mind has been changed. We have found his grace in repentance, and our mind is changed. We no longer want to play God. And then we run head on into this law of our old self, our old selfish ways, and the demons which we had before finding his grace. His grace has changed our minds and our hearts, and yet we find this law in our flesh, our self. You see, it's still there. This law we find in our flesh. And we find this law that is at war with the new law of our mind. And it's a real war. Paul laid it out there. It's a real war. The common testimony of most saints, most redeemed, repentant sinners, is that when they saw the answer for the confrontation with the sins of the past, that most of them thought they were still pretty good. Yeah, that's the common testimony. Most of them thought they were still pretty good. Have you thought that? Most people do. A lot of people don't like to admit it, but I think we probably all have. At least at some time. Have you thought that if we could find the grace and mercy of God to get that guilt problem of our past sins resolved and just get a little help from God, that we would be all right? Have you thought that? I've thought that. Most people, I think, think like that. That if we could find the grace and mercy of God to get that guilt problem of our past sins resolved and just get a little help from God, that we'd be all right. Have you thought that way? However, you know what happens when you think like that, don't you?
I have.
Yeah, Betty has. You know what happens. After we found his grace, after receiving that joy of salvation and pardon for all that guilt of past sins, we find this law in our members, still warring with what we know to be right, what we know to be the right way that we want to go. That's what we find. Every one of us. Paul found it. That was his own personal testimony there in Romans 7. Have you ever found that instead of not retaliating to some insult and having the meekness that we know we should have, did we ever kick or retaliate or try to get even?
Oh, no.
Have we ever told a little lie to protect our reputation or to protect ourselves? And then when we realize what we've done, and then we know what Paul's talking about there, see. With his spirit, with his mind, Paul knew what was right, and he had determined to do what was right, and wham! He was hit with this law of his self-will and vanity and envy and flesh at war with the law of his mind. And many have expressed that they didn't even know what temptation was until they became a Christian. And that's true. That's why Brother Ebenezer said, you know, Jim, when somebody really gets truly born again, it's the worst day of their life. It shocked me at first, but, you know, if you think about it, he's right on target. The things that used to not bother us, now we see the reality of it. We don't fit anywhere anymore. And I think there's a lot of people that have said they've never really seemed to have any big problems until they became a Christian. And these people were not being religious in saying that. They were being real. So with our mind and spirit, we know that we've been redeemed and we want to serve and be obedient to our King. And we find this law of what we still are. warring against what we know we should be and do. Where will we get victory? How will we get victory? And sadly, many try to deal with the frustration of not being what we know we are to be and want to be by proving that no one else is what they should be either. Now, that's not smart. I've been there, though, and I hate to admit it, but I've been there. And I do hope that you have not taken that common dead-end path to the sure and certain chastening of the Lord. You're going to get a trip to the woodshed with that path. He loves you enough to chasten you, too. But there's a better way to learn the way to go than that way. The victory does not come from our mind or our willpower, and it most certainly does not come from our subconscious. Often it may have to come from some heavy-duty chastening, pain, and tribulation, and suffering, yeah? But it does not have to come that way, and there is a better way. Sure, we do pray for God to help us, and He does. He gives grace. And I still frustrate that grace. For me, the victory came when I realized that Yeshua the Messiah, the Messiah, did not die to help me. That's where I found the victory. When I finally realized that Yeshua the Messiah did not die to help me. He died knowing that I could not be what I thought I should be. He died knowing that even if I did find His fullness of grace, knowing that even if He did give me the grace, and even if He did help me, that I would frustrate that grace and not take advantage of His help. He did not die so that He could help me to do what I knew that I should do. He died for me, knowing that I would, after enough hard knocks and hard-headed frustrations, finally come to the place where I would let Him do it for me. He is everything good that I am not. I have simply to come to Him in total honesty and recognition that I am not good, and He is good. Hallelujah. I do not have the power, and He has all power, all authority, all power and all authority in heaven and in earth has been given unto Him. The answer is not in any form of self-deception or positive thinking mantras or metaphysics from those who call themselves Christians in the Word Faith movement. It's not in anything other than a genuine, honest, open admission of the truth that is in me. In my flesh dwelleth no good thing. The answer is just in admitting the truth that I'm a sinner. I know that I'm one big sinner, and the true God who hates sins will never tolerate or give license to sin, but yet the true God forgives. And even died to save sinners. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Glory to God. What a King. So to the saints, the redeemed, repentant sinners, and you can't be a saint any other way than to be a redeemed, repentant sinner. To the saints who will admit that they are bad, all bad, having been bitter, critical, unrighteously judgmental, who have lied, who have admitted that we are not fit and worthy to be in the kingdom of the perfect King, I say glory to God. Hallelujah, Yeshua. And let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Hallelujah, Yeshua. I say, cut sin no slack. Yeah, I say that. Cut sin no slack. I say, rejoice in the glory of your Redeemer. Don't cut any sin any slack at all. But I say, rejoice. And glory in your Redeemer. I say, be holy, for He is holy. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. And in everything give thanks unto your Father in the name of Yeshua. My prayer for you has been answered. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Hallelujah. Speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, verily, my Sabbath ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. If we're going to get sanctified, he's got to do it. Don't you see this? If we're going to get sanctified, he's got to do it. And if we think we can do it ourselves, if we get one of those do-it-yourself sanctification kits, we are a deceived child of God. Do you see it? He does the sanctifying. And we try to sanctify ourselves. It will not work. Our efforts, our Torah observances, our works of righteousness will not work. It is he who does the sanctifying. Hallelujah. Do you see it? It is he who does the sanctifying. For those who are diligently continuing to press into the mystery of the ages, getting the leaven out, one of the biggest things that I could recommend is 10 shekels in a shirt. We got it on the website. I would recommend that as a good read for anybody, especially in this time that we're beginning to look toward Passover. This Passover is really important. Here's a link there. It's a good read. It's a great read. 10 shekels in a shirt. It's right there under the book cover on the website. 10 shekels in a shirt. Messiah was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. That's the gospel. You don't need to know any more than that. Can you receive that? Messiah was delivered for our offenses, not his offenses. He was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Hallelujah. This is the wonderful, redeeming grace of God in Messiah. Our vanity still wants us to think that with the help of God, we can make it and be who we know we're supposed to be, totally Torah observant. Think, child of God, think. Where's God's glory found in that picture of vanity? Huh? See, we just don't think about it right sometimes. We still want to think that with the help of God, we can make it and be who we're supposed to be, totally Torah observant. But we're not thinking right. See, where is God's glory in that picture of vanity? That's what it is. It turns out to be a picture of vanity. We're all vain creatures and born sinners. Ignorance of that fact and reality locks in the deception regarding the vanity, see? And likely some form of religious spirit bondage is sure to follow that close behind. We all just cannot seem to help approaching this problem of who and what we are in the wrong way. Everybody tries the wrong way. Yeshua did not die to help me do something that he knew that I could not do. You understand that? Jesus Christ died to do something to me and to be something to me that he knew I could never be. When we were without strength and ungodly, Messiah was sacrificed and died for us. Hallelujah. Now look at this. Look at this glorious truth of Romans 6, 3 through 6 with the understanding of the Holy Spirit of truth. Know ye not that so many of us, as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore we're buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also, in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, and henceforth we should not serve sin. Yes, I hope you can see this. Christ died as us. Yes, he did. Christ died as us. Yes, it's true. Yeshua the Messiah died as us, even taking our place, even taking our death sentence, even taking the curse of death from that law of sin and death as us, in our place. Glory to God. He died as us, in our place, to deliver us from the death that we deserved. He was not just on that cross for me. He was on that cross as me. He took my place. He took the punishment which I had earned for my sin upon himself. Because I love him, I hate sin. I cut sin no slack. I want to know, keep, and do his commandments. Because he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's pretty simple, isn't it? That's the proof of the pudding. My confession to you is that I'm a sinner who has been redeemed. No, I can never deny that I am a sinner, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Messiah. The answer to the problem of who and what I am is that Messiah died as me, taking that curse of law, sin, and death in my place. He is the perfect sin offering. Glory to God. Now, can you receive this? There is therefore. Now, listen. Can you receive this? Receive this into your soul and spirit. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Glory to God. No glory to me. No glory to my flesh. No glory to my works. No glory to my rabbi or Torah teacher. My vanity has no support and can be put under my feet, shot with the gospel of peace. Glory to God. All glory to the King of glory. What the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. All glory to God. Brethren, saints, friends, it does not lower or do away with the standard. It raises the standard and empowers us to go for it. Knowing the fact that even though we are all born sinners, we know that Messiah, Yeshua, fulfilled the righteousness of the law, which can only be fulfilled in him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. The law of God's commandments is holy, just, and good. And yet that law brought me under the curse of the law of sin and death. And that law would make me worthy of death. But Messiah died for me. The law of sin and death terrorized and forced and bullied me. But Messiah died as me. Messiah died as me. Do you see this? Messiah died for me. The law of sin and death terrorized and forced and bullied me. But Messiah died as me. The law of the Spirit of life in Messiah not only put the desire in me to want to serve God with my mind and spirit, but it also gives me the power to be free from the law of sin and death, and even free from the power of sin. God not only wrote his law upon my stone heart of selfishness, but he has given me a new heart with the desire to want to keep his commandments as a response to this great love of God which has dawned upon me. Hallelujah. He has put his spirit of life in me to cause me to walk in his statutes and even empower me to have the far greater power of his spirit free from the power of sin. The law of the spirit of life in Messiah empowers us to be set free from the law of sin and death. The mystery of the ages, you see. That's it. The mystery of the ages is Christ in us, the hope of glory. This mystery of the ages has the answer to those three, all three of those great problems that every human being has and is born with. And sadly, so many live and die not ever considering those problems. But this mystery of the ages has the answer to the three great problems that every human being has. When I was under the curse of the law of sin and death, Messiah died for me. And when I see what and who I am at the cross, I see Messiah died as me and in my place. And as I abide in Messiah, there is empowerment by his spirit of life in him to find a victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil. Hallelujah. How will we get victory? Stay in the Word. How will we overcome and have victory over who we are? Stay in the Word. How will we find the power to be what we know we should be? Stay in the Word. Hallelujah. His name is called the Word of God. We do thank God that we have the Word of God, that we know that we have the Word of God, that we have the Word of God, that we have the Word of God in us by His Spirit. Now, I need to say again, so that you know it's not a mistake. I speak of only the KJV Holy Bible when I say that. God promised a perfect Bible, and that KJV, that King Jesus version, is it. We need to know that we have the Word of God, that we have the Word of God. And that way our faith is based on God's integrity. It's based upon knowing, not thinking we know. It's based upon knowing. It's in writing. It's in black and white. It's based on knowing God said so. It's totally based on God's integrity and not that of any man. It's not based in vanity, not in any sort of religious spirit deception. And I would just encourage anybody that's trying to get Passover right this year to press into this mystery of the ages. Read that. Even if you read it before, read it. 10 shekels in a shirt. It's really a great summary of these principles. This is how we get victory. I hope this makes sense to you. What good news we have for people. And there is victory. And there's only one way we're going to find victory. There's no other way. Listening to the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Radio Network, and this is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you that the King is coming. The Great Joy and Great Tribulation website is located at www.moreshoreword.com. That's all one word, all small letters, www.moreshoreword.com. That's www.moreshoreword.com. On that website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and prepare to endure to the end of this 42-month Antichrist war on the saints. Once again, this is Jim Searcy reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when we see these things come to pass, that we are to look up and know that our redemption draweth nigh. Only be very strong and of good courage. Stay in the Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus.